Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to this morning's edition of Anchored in the Word. And we're going to be starting a new book study, 1 Thessalonians. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter together this morning. 1 Thessalonians 1:1 says this, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of our Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Boy, I love this passage of Scripture. This is going to be a rich study as we look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And when we come to this passage, as I always do, I want to just take a moment and summarize the passage. So here's our summary of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul wanted the church to know that his heart overflowed with praise to God as he reflected on the power of their conversion to Christ. This morning, we're going to just pause for a moment and think about what the gospel does, not only in moving us from being under God's wrath to now being his child, not just the positional change that takes place in a Christian, but this morning we're going to look at the powerful transforming change that takes place when a person places their faith in Christ. And so let's go ahead and focus in on that topic this morning. Just have a couple of observations from the text that I wanted to share with you, and I hope that they'll be a blessing. The first observation is this. Paul greeted the church with an explanation of the heart of the gospel. You know, whenever a person writes a letter, they always say dear and then the person's name. And in the ancient world, they did the same thing. There was kind of a dear and then here's the person we're addressing. But the way that Paul greets this church is not just the typical greeting, but it's a Christian greeting. I want you to notice the details that really show us the heart of the gospel. In verse 1, it says, to the church of the Thessalonians, and notice carefully how it is worded, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul addresses the church, he's emphasizing their position in Christ. And not just their position in Christ, but the fact that there is a relationship between Father and Son within the Godhead. In other words, it's not just their position in Christ, but it's their position in Christ in relation to the Father. We then see a second very important principle here. He says, grace be unto you. Now, when he talks about grace, he's emphasizing the fact that God is giving to them something, and it's something that's good, and it's something that they don't deserve. This is God's action toward them, not their action toward him. Grace to you. And then he says peace from God. He mentions that this position puts them at peace with God, and we notice that the work that accomplishes that peace was from God to them, not from them to God. Really, we see the heart of the gospel in these things. We have a position in Christ by the grace of God alone on the basis of the work of God for us that removed that enmity that was between us and God. Second observation that was really interesting as I was reflecting on this passage was that Paul's heart overflowed with praise to God as reflected on their conversion. Notice the way that he puts it in verse 2 and 3. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all. And then he says this, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Basically, Paul states, we give thanks to God because we constantly remember the powerful impact of the gospel on your life. How it brought you to faith, how it changed what you do, and how it gives you stability in how you live your daily lives. He states it really from three different aspects: the past, the present, and the future. And I want you to notice that he actually states it three different ways, each aspect of their conversion. He says, I'm thankful because I'm remembering your work of faith, how our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost, and how you turned to God from idols. What he's emphasizing there is how there was a point in time when these believers formerly were serving idols. They were living for their own lives, and they weren't concerned about the things of God. And the gospel came to them, and the Spirit of God did this amazing work in them. He brought them to repentance and faith. He helped them to see their sin and their unrighteousness, and they turned to God from idols to place their faith in the finished work of God. So he's remembering the work of faith, not a work that they're doing for God, a work that God did in them to bring them to repentance and faith. Then he mentions their labor of love, and he puts it this way: I remember your labor of love, how you became followers of us and of the Lord, and how you did it to serve the living and true God. And so he's emphasizing that not only did God bring you to faith, but the faith that you now have changes the entire way that you look at life and how you live. In other words, you are working for God, not because you fear him and not because you're trying to earn his favor, but because you love him. In other words, your position is secure in Christ, and you're so grateful for that that it presses your soul to actually labor. He then mentions a third: patience of hope, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, to wait for his Son from heaven. And so he's emphasizing the fact that now that you're a Christian, not only do you labor for God in love, but you bear under the weight of life with this healthy, joyful anticipation of the coming of Christ. In other words, I'll show you the progression that he gives this. Our faith is a result of God's work in us. Our faith brings us to a radical transformation. Our faith stirs up our hearts so that we serve God, and our faith patiently endures with an anticipation of his return. When Paul thinks about this church and how their lives really reflect those key evidences of God's work, it brings him incredible joy. A third observation that I saw in the text is this: Paul's heart overflowed with praise to God as he reflected on their passion to spread the gospel. You know, it's interesting. The passage never tells us that God commanded them to go and preach the gospel. Now, it's true that we have the Great Commission, and the church is to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is true. But the truth is, we don't find a lot of commands in Scripture where it says, you need to go out and evangelize. Yet this church had this inborn understanding when they placed their faith in Christ that the gospel wasn't just to be kept to them, that they needed to tell other people about the gospel. There was something inside of them that pressed them and motivated them to share the gospel. And so this is what he says in verses 7 and 8. He says, you were examples to all who believed in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, out of all these churches, when I think of the people who have placed their faith in Christ and how it's impacted them, I tell those other churches, you need to look at the folks in Thessalonica. They're an example of what the gospel does in people. And he's going to explain kind of that a little bit further in verse 8, because he says this: for, here's the reason, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. To me, that's an absolutely incredible thought. The Apostle Paul, as an apostle, would establish churches all throughout the Mediterranean world. He was passionate about getting the gospel into communities. And Paul was passionate about taking the gospel where there was no church witness, where there wasn't a church established that could reach into their communities. And the Apostle Paul says, when I think about Macedonia and Achaia, I feel like there's not a work for me to do here. And the reason is because this church has been passionate about spreading the gospel. In other words, there's a thriving community of believers that's doing the work. I don't even need to be there anymore. And, you know, the closest thing I can come to thinking about what Paul's saying is, as a missionary, I remember working with a church plant and coming to the conclusion that my work was coming to an end and it was time to turn this over to those men who were leading the church at that time. And that was a really a bittersweet thing, realizing that really they could do the work without me. That's a blessing. And really realizing that God had something else he wanted me to be doing. And the Apostle Paul is looking at the church that way. He's saying, I don't need to come and do my apostolic ministry work. You guys have established a church and you're reaching people. I'm just going to let God work through you guys as a channel. So how do we take this and practically apply it? Let me share with you a couple of things that I jotted down today as I was reflecting on this. The first is this: gospel ministry is rewarding. You know, if you've never led a person to the Lord, if you've not had the opportunity to sit down with somebody and disciple them, you're missing out on an incredible blessing. The fact is that when we talk about God's power and how God works, you see no greater example of the power of God, the transforming work that he does in people, than when you sit down with someone with an open Bible and you show them how to be saved and the light comes on and the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that person turns to the Lord and places their faith in Christ. There is no greater blessing that I can think of than seeing God work in the lives of people. Two, the gospel not only changes people's eternal destination, but it radically transforms every aspect of their lives. The truth is, there is no Christian that's perfect, but every Christian is different than what they were before their conversion. The fact is, how they look at life just radically changes because of new life in Christ. And the gospel gives us purpose in our worship. You know, if I don't know the Lord as my Savior, what I'm living for, what I'm worshiping is empty and vain. These people turn to God from idols. We have our own idols that we serve, and we don't even realize it. We don't even view them as idols. It gives us purpose to what we do. You know, so many people go about their daily lives, and they feel like what I do has no value. It has no purpose. It's not accomplishing anything. But the reality is, from a Christian worldview where the gospel is the center of everything, the things that I do, the seemingly meaningless task that I do as a father, as a husband, in my daily work, the things that I'm involved in, all of a sudden they have value and they have weight because I'm doing them for the glory of God. And I'm serving God out of love. And all of a sudden, simple tasks have value and meaning. And the third thing I think about is it gives stability when we suffer. You know, this is not diminishing suffering. Every single person in this world is going to suffer and does suffer. And suffering is hard and it brings tremendous pain. And it leaves us with lots and lots of questions. But the fact is that as a Christian, because I have a confidence that I'm going to spend eternity with God and have a confidence that God is sovereign and that he works through circumstances in my life, all of a sudden I have stability in the midst of suffering that I could not have if I was an unbeliever. And so I can joyfully endure seeing that Christ is going to come. He's going to reward faithfulness. There's actually meaning to what I'm going through. And the last practical thing I think about is when we give people the gospel, we have the opportunity to see God's power on display as it transforms people. And the reality is, when I think about people who have been led to Christ, baptized, discipled, have become a part of the church that I knew before conversion and after conversion, if I pause and I think about it, that is one of the most beautiful things you could ever observe: the transforming power of the gospel. God taking somebody who is stumbling about in the darkness, doesn't understand what life is all about, and all of a sudden they come face to face with the realities of the gospel. They have a God-centered worldview, and God changes them and gives them a sense of purpose and meaning. And there's an anticipation of his return. You know, as I think about this passage, it really blessed my heart. I hope it blessed yours as well. Let's bow together for a word of prayer and just thank God for our time together. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. Our Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to study your word together today. Father, help us to keep in mind the power of the gospel, how it transforms people. I pray that you'd bring people into our lives, even today, who we would have the opportunity, because of the circumstances that we face, to share Christ, to explain to them how they can be saved, and to have the opportunity over time to see the transforming power of the gospel in their lives. Bless each of those who have joined us today and who will later in the day. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, good to see each of you out this morning. I hope that you have just a wonderful day, and I'll look forward to catching up with you again next time. Bye now.